I can't let go of this topic because it means a lot to me. The ability to freedom of speech and being able to talk your shit. And I was fortunate enough to listen to another podcast where they had a free speech advocate. And it was a person that did a lot of work for over many, many years. And he talked about the value of free speech, how we can't ban hate speech. And I thought he was hitting on a lot of great points that I was thinking about. And for example, one of the main things he talks about is, okay, if you want to ban free speech, what does that consist of? What is that? Because it's always politically affiliated. And then on top of that, who is the person that's going to be regulating it? Because you know that when it comes to these things, if you want someone to regulate it, it's going to be the government. And we all know the government can be biased based on the person that's in office, based on the people that are running it. It's the difference between a conservative judge versus a liberal judge. There's going to be some decisions, Supreme Court decisions, that are going to go one way or the other based on their political beliefs. And it wouldn't be any different with banning free speech that is deemed to be hateful, to is deemed to incite others' anger and even violence. And I thought it was something that he was talking about very well. He was giving so many examples throughout his time with civil rights, with the fight with women and gays and all these different things. And at the end, it's that what he talked about is what I believe in, is you got to let them battle it out. When it comes to words, when it comes to how you feel and your opinions about anything, you have to allow the platform, because we cannot, who's going to be the person that regulates it all, right? And I guess for me, when I saw even things being taken to the next level, when an app that's right wing and maybe have some people in there that are speaking some white supremacy undertones, then, you know, you can't have Apple and Amazon blocking the creation of that, because that's where I felt the triggers were there, or the red flags were there, in the sense of, when it's one thing to say to somebody, hey, we don't want you to be on Twitter anymore, right? And there's many people that would say, man, I don't want to be on Twitter, I don't want to be on Facebook, because dumb motherfuckers are talking some shit that it's, you know, it's just being too extreme with banning people. And then you go along and say, hey, you know what? I want to create an app. It's called Parler. And you can say whatever the fuck you want to say. But then guess what? The service of people that are allowing the internet to flow are saying, nah, we're not going to even allow that creation of that platform. And that's what I'm saying to myself. Really, fucking guys? You can't ban any speech. And he was saying the same point. This person, this scholar, was saying something that a regular Joe like me was thinking. It's like, just because you mute them, it doesn't mean that voice goes away. It doesn't mean, if anything, you're creating it even bigger. You're making it valid point, because the fact that you're removing them from having a platform to speak on, you're causing those people to be more ignited, to be more divided, to be more, I guess, boisterous with their opinion, with how they feel. And I mean, I couldn't agree anymore. And I'm glad that somebody like this, that's had so much experience. He was talking about how he grew up as a kid in Brooklyn. He's a Jewish kid. And he said, you know, the way we would do things, the way we would go ahead and, that was actually him, I was listening to him. And the way he said, when anybody growing up, if someone said something about you, I mean, he would see neo-Nazis or KKK people, he'd be like, you know what, I want to punch him in the fucking face. But he realized that they had a right to speak their mind. You just have to, like what he was saying, examples was, you have to outdo them in the wordplay. If they have a rally for the KKK, you have to create 4 rallies for Black Lives Matter to offset that. That's the way you counter that. You get as many people more on your side and to speak against it than there is on the other side, right? And I understood that. And I was like, damn, why can't people that run Twitter, why can't people that are in this cancel culture not understand that free speech can't be done in our country, in our society, because it's the antithesis of what we have been. I mean, I couldn't even imagine living in a society that you couldn't speak your mind about anything, because that's what people in other countries feel, like in Cuba and China and other communist countries, where they can't say what they really feel or speak against the government, speak against the president, speak against any type of policy that are governing the masses. You can't do any of that. But here, and now it's taken to a deeper level where I understand this reality, and many of you people don't. Guess what? There's going to be homophobics among us. There's going to be xenophobes. There's going to be racists. They're going to be bigots. They're going to be all these. They're going to be misogynists. You're going to have all these labels of people in our society. You can't eradicate it. Now, the one thing I will say, that as I was listening to them, I was thinking, because they were trying to bring up an idea of, okay, how do we regulate this? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, they were talking about it from a perspective of the platforms like Twitter and Facebook should be considered like a telephone company, like an electric company. Like, you know, you're not liable for giving that service to racists. You're not liable to giving that service to gays. Everyone's allowed to have it, like a phone. If right now it's you're able to have a phone conversation with somebody. If you're a racist, you're able to have a phone and be able to call whomever, right? The difference is now in that platform, everyone can see what you guys are talking about. So I understand that it's a difference in it, but this person was talking about how it should be done within that mindset of this is just a service that you're providing for the public, and whatever happens on that shit, it happens. And people that are racist, you got to combat them with people that are, you know, you got, if three people are racist, you got to get nine people that are anti-racist coming down on them, right? And that's not changing, that's not saying you're going to change their mind. It's that you got to allow that to occur as far as the free-for-all, because they're you're not going to suppress that kind of thinking. And he was saying that how the election showed you, like he felt like the election was a referendum to bigotry and racism. And I don't know if it was to that extreme. But I think that there were some people out there that really felt that it was a lot of division going on with the rhetoric of the president, which is understandable, which is something that we can all see. I mean, I was talking to somebody at the gym the other day, and somebody I work with that retired. And he was just like, man, I don't know what the fuck the president is doing. Like, you know, you can't be thinking, doing, saying crazy shit like that and thinking that is not going to have ramifications to the mass. This is one thing if I, like a real old me that only has like two listeners here and there. If I'm talking my shit, no one's going to listen. No one's going to get ignited to fucking do anything. You know, no one's going to care. But if I'm the president of the United States and I'm having to say some crazy shit, yeah, there's going to be people that are probably, there was some lady that I was reading this morning was saying, yeah, I believe everything the president says. I follow my president's order, something like that. I'm like, geez, lady, like, don't you really understand what's going on? Like, don't you really comprehend what? And these are the people that, even though we know that they're not all there, they're out there, man. And the election, having people vote by the droves, spoke to that, right? Because I think there was a larger vote of black people, and I think there was a larger vote of people that were not accounted for beforehand. And now, again, I don't know if it was all rigged or not, but you have every right to say if it was rigged or not. You have every right. And the sad thing about it is that when I see platforms like Parler that are being taken away altogether, you're essentially taking that right for people to speak their fucking mind. It's okay if you don't want to speak it on Twitter. It's okay if Facebook or whoever. But if a new platform is created for that shit to happen, you should allow it to happen. And when you're having companies like Apple and Amazon dictating what apps and what programs can be allowed that are because they're inciting hate speech or whatever it is. Again, I'm a person, I'm in a minority here as far as like the way I look, the optics. I'm not a white Christian male, okay? It's like, you know, I'm a person that just believes that you got to let the racists be racist. You got to let the bigots be bigots. You got to let the homophobes be homophobes. You're only going to eradicate as we go through time. Just like racism has gotten better now than it was before. It's just the opportunities for blacks are better. The opportunities for women are much better. The opportunities for gays being out there, being out there and identifying as gay, there's opportunities for them. It's like you have to understand that change is happening for the better, but it's not gonna something you're gonna eradicate out of society altogether. And by banning those people, you're not gonna do that. I was thinking of an idea when they were talking about that. I said earlier about just kind of looking at those platforms like Twitter and Facebook as a phone company that just provides a service for people to communicate, and not regulate it or moderate it as far as what things are said or not said. I didn't even know this. I mean, Minister Farrakhan was banned from Twitter for hateful speech, and I'm like, okay, I don't understand that, because again, people have opinions like Minister Farrakhan, people have opinions like Donald Trump. Let them have it. Let them say whatever the fuck they want to say. But I think the problem was, now we're getting to a point that if you have your support for Trump, now people, let's say you're a musician and you're a stout supporter of Trump, then people are trying to have you take out your job and your livelihood. Then people are out, and it's a shame, because I don't believe all people that support Trump are racist, And that's a shame, because people that support Trump, I believe some of them are pro-business, are less about government, hate government in general and regulating them. They're about, just kind of breaking the status quo of what politics has been in our society for many years. Like that, that's why I felt a lot of people voted for Trump. I'm not saying that a percentage of them isn't bigoted, or they feel like their rights or their America as they see it is being attacked. So they have every right to feel the way they do. But unfortunately, they're outnumbered by the Biden supporters, right? So, but what I was thinking about was that when you have that mindset of, how can you regulate it? In my opinion, the way you can regulate it, I'm not saying minimize it or eradicate it, but people will be a lot more careful would be if you ask people to be identified by their real name. So instead of you being bigot 321, you have to say you're John Smith. John Smith from Naples, Florida. And you have to put a picture of yourself up, and you have to be verified by the company, by Twitter, with your license or something like that. Like, okay, you are John Smith. This is the name that we're giving you. Now you got a name on it. Now we have a name and a location. Now if you want to spew that bigoted shit, okay, then as Twitter, as Parler, you don't have to do anything about it. Now it's up to other people. Now if somebody that's a coworker sees you spewing that shit, they want to go ahead and call you into HR and have a problem with it, that's up to the company and individual. I think that's how you regulate those things, because you can't just ask Twitter. You can't ask these folks out there that are running a platform of free speech to ban selective ones that are anti-gay, anti-racist, whatever it is. You're just not allowing. You have to, I believe, for that stuff to be drained out of your society, or to be not eradicated but to be minimized as we go on, is that you have to allow for that conversation to go on. Like, you have to let a racist go against a person that's anti-racism, and you have to let them have a dialogue about it. And you have to, and not because of their point of views changing, but because you're going to have a person that's on the fence one way or the other, and it's going to see that dialogue, and then they're going to be able to decide, okay, this is like, that person that's racist is more ignorant than the person that's not racist, right? So that's the power of allowing differences to be talked about. That's the way it gets done, in my opinion. You're able to not influence those people that are actually having that conversation, but you're actually allowing the viewers, the readers, the other people that are watching this shit unfold. And you can't let this stuff get you angry, but the power of words is one where people are so super triggered about this. And I hope that this is something that in government and people that are for free speech are able to understand the ramifications of and are able to find a solution, because I don't feel that allowing private companies to regulate it regulated. They should have policies and procedures, meaning if you don't want to have dick pics out there, if you don't want to be saying the word fag, if you don't want to be saying nigger, that's one thing, you know, but go ahead and just say, hey, I don't want you to do this or that or third, because of things that can maybe be insightful. I just don't tend to be a supporter of that. And I hope people out there can truly understand the impact. Of course, Nancy Pelosi is not going to understand. She's 80 fucking years old. You know, of course, all Mitch McConnell is not going to understand about, you know, the banning of free speech, because these guys are fucking outdated. And these people have a platform. If they want to have a press conference, go ahead and do so. I don't know, man. This is something that's dear to me, because I was able to find free speech and the empowerment of free speech to talk your fucking shit nonstop. But I do it in a comedic way.